grace, mercy, peace are yours. God our Father, through Jesus. Amen. The word of God before us today, as we're going to talk about God reveals his glory through those he calls to serve him, is our second lesson from Acts 13, the first five verses. It's on page 3 and 4 in your service folder if you'd like to follow along as we talk about it. In Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Both last week in our readings and this week in our readings, we see God doing some incredible things as far as it comes to calling people to serve in the public ministry. Last week we had the young boy Eli in the temple where God wakes him up 3 times in the night to talk to him. That's pretty amazing. We had Nathaniel under the tree and Jesus describing him before he'd even seen him. And then today we have Jesus along the Sea of Galilee saying, follow me, and they get up and they leave their business behind, really, and go. Or we have Elisha. It must have been pretty well due. He's got 12 yoke oxen that he's plowing with. The Lord must have been blessing the work he was doing. And yet when Elijah calls him God calls him through Elijah to serve in the public ministry, he feeds the village with 2 of the oxen, and he burns the plowing equipment to celebrate his call into ministry. So as you listen to that, what 2 things are competing in your head? 1, God hasn't done anything that cool in my life. And 2, I'm sure glad he hasn't asked me to leave everything behind and go serve him. Is that kind of the competing thoughts that could run through your head when you look at God calling people to serve? See, God still calls people to serve into the public ministry, the representative ministry, those that minister on behalf of us, like the pastors or the teachers, those of public gospel ministry. But he also calls each and every Christian to their private ministry. Ministry means service. God has called you to serve. He's called you to, whatever you do, do to all the glory of God, to serve him. He's called you to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to serve yourself by growing in your knowledge of God. And he's called you to, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially the family of believers. He's called you to serve other people as well. So today, what I want us to think about a little bit is how God's glory is revealed when he calls people like you and me to serve. Whether it's in the public ministry or in our private ministry, whose glory is being revealed in our service? See, the answer is always God's. It's about God. It's about telling other people about who he is and what he has done and this incredible love that he has for us that sent his son to die for our sins. It's an incredible message, one that he has asked us to share. But you might think to yourself, oh, wait a minute, I'm no Elijah, I'm no Elisha, I'm no Paul. I mean, Paul, one of the greatest missionary ever, I'm no Paul, right? We tend to look at ourselves and maybe at times like this downplay what we could do. Really? Paul's ministry revealed Paul's glory? Or Paul's ministry revealed God's glory? I think you got a few things up on Saul here, right? Remember Saul? You know, he was persecuting the church, right? When Stephen was stoned in Jerusalem, he was there holding people's coats so they could wind up and throw the stones harder to kill Saul, to kill Stephen. Okay, raise your hand. Any of you ever killed other Christians? Any of you ever enabled other people to kill other Christians? Ever? Any of you ever arrested Christians and thrown them in jail? Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hand. No? But God could work through Saul. Why can't he work through you? Another guy that was mentioned there in Antioch, you know, there was 5 of them there that were prophets and teachers. That meant there was a bunch of people there that were being taught the word of God so that they could go and do their own private ministry. But the 5 guys that were publicly serving, public ministers, were listed for us in there. Saul was one of them, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger. And then there was a guy named Manian, something like that. Did you notice who he grew up with? Herod the Tetrarch? Remember Herod the Tetrarch? Okay, raise your hand if you had a brother, or stepbrother, or whatever the relationship was between Manani and Herod, who got so drunk at his birthday party that he promised the girl that was dancing whatever he wanted, and what she asked for was, all of a sudden, John the Baptist's head was on a silver platter among the party members. Any of you got a brother that did that? God could reveal his glory through those guys, because he revealed his glory through him as he taught in Antioch. He revealed his glory through all these people, because it's God's glory. You see, sometimes we think it's about us. It's not about our ability, about how good we are with the English language, or our ability to present things and sway people to our opinion by our impeccable logic. If that's what you're going to go with, you're going to fail. It's all about God. God reveals his glory, and that he works through simple people like you and me. He works through called workers to prepare the public ministers, to prepare every Christian to their works of service. Ephesians 4, just read through it. He calls you the ligament in the body of Christ. And if you aren't serving the way God has called you to do, then the body of Christ is going through life with a blown ACL, and that's not good. So don't be saying, well, there isn't anything I can do. I'm not those guys. I don't have the training. Well, you're called by God to be a witness. A witness tells what they know to be true. So your job is to tell what you know of to be true about Jesus. Now, can you always learn more about Jesus? Certainly. That's why he gives us public ministers, prophets, and teachers like at Antioch, or the pastors and teachers in our congregation, so that we can share God's word with you to build you up, but so that you go do your private ministry. And he will reveal his glory, not your glory, his glory, as you take Jesus to other people and teach and admonish and encourage and rebuke and all those one another passages that are throughout the New Testament. And if you say, oh, I can't do that, Pastor. I don't have any gifts or abilities. Do you understand you're calling God a liar? And really, is that where you want to start your defense? God, you're a liar? This is in Corinthians. He says to every Christian, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit in the context of 1 Corinthians 12 there is spiritual gifts that God gives to every believer. Every believer has spiritual gift or gifts to use to serve in the body of Christ. Now, someone else might have more gifts than you do. They might be better at it than you are at the gifts he's given you. That doesn't matter. God hasn't called you to say you can only serve in the kingdom if you are the best. He has called you to serve in his kingdom with your best abilities that he's given to you. Now think about it. When I say amen today, and you stand up and get done, and then when we have the rest of the service, and then we have the final benediction, and you go out to the rest of your work week, your life, people you're going to run into, think about all that. You're going to go to places that a pastor or a teacher are never going to go. You're going to go see people and rub elbows with people that I'll never see. And so the ministry God has given you is to take Jesus to them when they need it. Because you're going to encounter some people that are struggling, that are fearful, that are worried, that are facing physical problems, that are facing financial problems, that are facing all kinds of challenges in this world. And they need this encouragement that God still loves them and is with them no matter what they're going through. And the proof is that Jesus lived and died in their place. And you are the voice of God to them. And as you speak to them and God works in their hearts, it's God's glory that's revealed. It's not yours. See, he works through us at times when our knees are knocking and our palms are sweating, and we think we're saying all the wrong words, but if we point people to Jesus, he works in their hearts. That's what reveals his glory. The question becomes, I think, for you and I to struggle with, is what are we willing to leave behind to carry out that task? I don't think God's asking you to kill some oxen and burn some plowing equipment. I doubt any of you got it. I don't think he's telling you to leave behind some nets and a boat. But what are you willing to maybe put on the line because you love your Lord? Maybe it's a friendship that if you talk to someone else about Jesus, you're not sure how they're going to react, so you don't encourage them or you don't point them to Jesus because you're valuing that friendship more than you're valuing your God at that point in time. And we've all done it. There ain't a single one of us in here that hasn't done that. This is what we do. We like to focus on ourselves and what it might cost us instead of focusing on our God and what he's done for us. And when we do this, we have failed our God. We have sinned against our God. This is the amazing thing about our God. The message that he has given us to share with others, he tells us, first of all, to share with our own hearts. I love you. In Christ, you are forgiven for all the times you have failed me. In Christ, you are perfect in my eyes. In Christ, the sin has been washed away. His love for you is unshakable. Unfailing, I think, is the word we used earlier in the service, right? His love for us is unfailing. So cling to that, and then live for God. Because as you do it, God will reveal his glory through people like you and me. As amazing and hard to believe as that might be at times, that's his plan. So trust him and live for him, because he lived and died for you first. Amen.